This is regional news coverage from the KBI newsroom. I'm Lucas Hudson. American Airlines plans to offer daily flights to Chicago and Dallas from Columbia. City leaders say American Eagle will offer two daily nonstop flights to and from Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport and one daily nonstop route to Chicago O'Hare. Service begins in mid-February. Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid says the added flights are contingent on City Council approval of an airport improvement plan. City leaders announced the new flights yesterday and plan to release details about the expansion plan today. A recent city study estimates that renovating the airport south of Columbia will cost at least $17 million. A couple dozen members of the North Cherokee Nation of the old Louisiana Territory took part in an annual reunion in Columbia last weekend. KBIA's Meredith Turk tells us more.
The tribe has about 10,000 members scattered across the country, but are headquartered in Columbia. Beverly Baker has served as the chief of the nation for 27 years and has worked to uncover the tribe's history, which she says dates back to Spanish documents from 1721.
I was one of the fortunate ones who found my Cherokee ancestor on the first Cherokee roll of 1835, so I'm very fortunate in that way.
The tribe requires members to be a direct descendant of a Cherokee Indian from the census rolls taken during the 19th century and the early 20th century. Members have ancestry from Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. Head Elder Mike Ballard believes a lot of information was not passed on because of the difficulty of being a Native Indian in Missouri during the early 20th century.
Up until about 1928, it was illegal to be an Indian in Missouri. So your family was suddenly Black Dutch or Black Irish, or even Mexican. You were safer with that.
3 years ago, Vicky Stahl traced her heritage back to 1721, when her ancestors from Ireland intermarried with the Cherokee Indians. Vicky received her native name at the reunion, which is an important step in membership.
It's a meaningful name to me. They named me Red Flower today.
Former Missouri governors have recognized this tribe at the state level, but the Northern Cherokee Nation of the old Louisiana Territory is not federally recognized, although Baker says they are attempting to gain status.
I've been struggling with this for 30 years. We meet one obstacle after another, but we also are breaking down these obstacles one after another.
For most members, there's no option but to keep trying. I'm Meredith Turk, KBIA News.
No go son, no ye nega. Members of a task force set up to create a comprehensive plan for the city of Columbia say they are frustrated by the lack of participation, coordination, and timeliness in the planning process. Just 3 out of the 15 task force members showed up to a meeting Wednesday night. KBIA's Maoling Zhang attended the meeting at the Columbia City Hall and tells us more.
With 3 staff members from the city's planning and development division, the task force members discussed Columbia Imagined, a comprehensive plan project intended to provide common guidelines for citizens and decision makers in planning the city's future growth. Lee Henson is one of the 3 task force members. He says he thinks the planning process lacks the attention it deserves.
I think a lot of people who've been doing it for 2 or 3 years are somewhat frustrated with the length of time it's taking, and that's more than understandable.
The first task force meeting took place in January 2010 as part of the Columbia Imagined project. Henson says though their recommendations are purely advisory, his motivation is to help people with disabilities.
My main interest in this whole effort has to do with full inclusion of people with disabilities in the development of the city, and a lot of us are people with low incomes as well.
The meeting attendance is only one of the problems facing planners. Pat Zinner is the development service manager for the city's community development department. He says right now what the task force is having some challenges with is having pieces of the document of the Columbia Imagine plan and not knowing how all the pieces fit together.
What we would like to be able to do is give the task force then a document that's about 2/3 of the way complete, so they can look at the document as a whole and be able to read it and get the fuller perspective.
Zinner says the Planning and Development Division staff is writing a draft of Columbia Imagined on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the task force serves as a sounding board in the meetings at this early stage. Zinner says he expects the public participation to begin in December. Maoling Zhang, KBIA News.
A federal panel is calling for stronger privacy protections for human genetic data. In a report out yesterday, the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues said whole genome sequencing, which provides a unique blueprint of each person's DNA, holds great promise for advancing medical research and clinical care. But the commission said that genetic data can also be misused and needs to be adequately protected. In a conference call with the press, Commission Chair Amy Gutman said, right now, genetic data are subject to an inconsistent patchwork of state and federal regulations.
Someone could legally pick up your discarded coffee cup, send a sample of your saliva out for sequencing to see if you show a predisposition for certain diseases, and only about half the states in our country offer protections against surreptitious commercial testing.
The Washington University Genome Institute, which bills itself as a world leader in genomics research, declined to comment for this story. An Eastern Missouri woman has left a total of $1.3 million to the University of Missouri School of Medicine in honor of her husband. The late Melna Bohm of Warrenton first gave $550,000 to the medical school in 2003. She later added $550,000 to establish the George and Melna Bohm Distinguished Professorship in Cardiovascular Health. Her husband died in 2000 and Melna Bohm died in 2011. Another $250,000 from her estate established a Distinguished Faculty Scholar Program in Ophthalmology, also named for the Bohms. Two Columbia Mall restaurants have reopened after a Columbia Department of Health and Human Services inspection found 19 code violations. KBIA's Bryn Whitaker reports.
Two Columbia restaurants, Famous Cajun Grill and Stir Fry 88, reopened Wednesday after making changes to their operations following a failed health inspection by the Columbia Department of Health Services. In the first inspection of the restaurants, the department found unclean food contact surfaces, storage of raw food with ready-to-eat food, and a cockroach infestation. After deep cleaning and pest control servicing, the two restaurants passed a second inspection to reopen business. Kayla Gunnier is the environmental health director for the Columbia Department of Health and Human Services. She says that although the two restaurants passed their second inspection now, the department will be on the lookout for in the future.
Well, the biggest thing to remember is that a food inspection is really just a snapshot in time. So when one establishment might be perfect the one time you go in there, and in 2 or 3 months when you go back, because of change in staff or change in a manager or change in a menu even, it could be a completely different scene than what you're accustomed to walking into.
Gunnier says consumers can be proactive in choosing safe places to eat by watching employee interactions such as hand washing, glove use, and asking questions about the food preparation. The health department plans to maintain contact with the pest control provider working with the two restaurants to prevent further contamination issues. Bryn Whitaker, KBIA News.
Following a controversial incident over the summer, members of an MU fraternity continue to show their support for Republican nominee for governor Dave Spence. Currently, numerous windows of the Beta Theta Pi house facing College Avenue have Spence for governor signs in them, with no other signs supporting other political candidates. In May, Democratic Governor Jay Nixon's office contacted the fraternity's national office about a large banner displayed across the front of the house on campus. The banner had the potential to conflict with the fraternity foundation's tax-exempt status and was taken down within the week. But Beta Theta Pi business manager Bill Tolson says the window signs are not a problem. Dave Spence was a member of Beta Theta Pi at MU and donated $1 million to help build the fraternity's new house that opened earlier this year. The Spence and Nixon offices were not able to be reached for comment. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.